everybody. Welcome back to Airplane Mode Flight Attendant Confessions for episode 3 here with Victoria. How are you doing today, Victoria? And how's flying been?
It's good. Feeling tired today, though.
Yes, we did have a flight together yesterday, and it wasn't that late, but I worked on Friday as well, and so I just had 2 back-to-back long, long, long days, so I'm tired.
I can imagine, right? Wow.
And I'm surprised that I woke up because I didn't set my alarm, and I just actually woke up on time, so I'm like, oh, okay, good. But I was like, you know when you like you wake up and you're like, oh, I didn't set my alarm, but I don't feel too rested, so it must be the time to wake up. And so like I knew I didn't sleep in.
But yeah, that's good. See, I set my alarm last night because I'm like, I need to make sure I'm up.
I usually do that, but then I just didn't. I don't know why. Do you know why? So I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
And I had my phone with me and I was about to plug it in. I'm like, oh my God, I have my phone charger was still in my crew bag. And so I was like, oh my God, I had to get up to get my phone charger. So I go and I get my phone charger. I just plugged it in and then I just fell back to sleep. So I had been dozing off. So yeah, I completely forgot. Oh, but wow. I usually put my alarm on during the flight. You know what I mean? Like just so I don't forget, but yeah. I didn't.
Just let me share. I want to share this link to Facebook. So on the live, hold on.
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
So we had a flight yesterday. We usually do St. Lucia and back. That is our route on Saturdays. We have a pretty close to the same crew next week as well. So what did we do all flight? What was your experience this flight yesterday?
Yesterday was pretty hectic. Like busy for service. People wanted a lot. They were drinking a lot in the aisles a lot.
I was more so going on with what we were doing.
Oh, what we were doing. Oh yeah. Joining in on that trend, flight attendants, we're flight attendants. And I thought it was so funny because by the end of that 4.5 hour flight, that guy that was sitting in the back must have been like, what? Like all flight, all he heard was, we're flight attendants.
Exactly. So we did start posting a few Instagram reels, I think they are. Did you do reels or stories? What did you do? You haven't posted on Instagram yet.
It was, just a reel. One on
you did
Instagram.
A reel on Instagram. And yeah. So we have it on TikTok as well, where we're basically like, we're flight attendants. And we go through different things that flight attendants always are doing. It was pretty fun. It actually really passed the time. So do you think that our next person that we have that will be flying with us next week will be participating?
Maybe. We'll talk her into it.
I hope so. So because we have to think of some more things to do for sure.
Yeah.
Did anything else happen on the flight? So we were definitely, you know, taking videos and saying we're flight attendants 1,000 times. Anything else notable? Did you have any experiences with passengers or anything of that sort?
No, my favorite part about yesterday's flight was the story that Maria told us.
Oh, well, do you want to retell the story then?
You do it. Did you write it down?
Well, okay. So basically, a coworker of ours, let's see if I can find her. Did she say that we could use her image?
I think so. Yeah, not the finger one.
I don't have that. So, okay. Hold on. One second. Do you want to just talk about something while I set this up?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, about Maria, we can say she's been flying for, I don't even know, it's been over 30 years. Like she's been with so many different airlines and she has so much experience in the industry. So she has all these stories. So the story that she told us was just like hilarious.
And so have you flown with Maria a lot? I usually do. I've had a few flights with her, but not too many.
I do. I fly with her quite often. She's one of my favorite flight attendants. I feel like she just has that job down pack. Like, she's so good with passengers. She's just amazing. I love her.
Me too. I had a layover with her a little while ago. It was good times.
Where did you guys lay over?
Oh, Windsor, nowhere that exciting, but still always a good time with Maria.
Yeah.
And she did say that we could use her name. She actually encouraged it.
Yeah, she want yeah, for sure.
So for what she was telling us about the story was in, I believe it was in the 70s, she was flying. And this is her. Why don't you explain this picture first?
Yeah, I love this picture of her. So she basically, I love, she's an Italian lady. She brings all of her, it was like a deli. She sets up a whole deli to make her sandwich on her lunch. I love it. And I always joke because she brings like big apples, like peeled in her Ziploc bag. And I'm always like, oh, Maria brought her boiled potatoes again.
She always brings a lot of food and snacks and shares. Even over the Christmas season, she brought for every flight that we had together chocolates for all the ground agents and the cleaning crew that comes on when we're down, or brings clothes or brings like supplies and stuff like that. So she's always providing to, especially if we're doing Cuba turns. Hopefully that's a little long. I'm sorry. But like, yeah, she's definitely really generous, and she's always like, she's always sharing everything, and she's really, really great. She's been with the company that we work for since the beginning, I think.
Yeah.
She's been, I think since day one, no?
Yeah. Yeah, she is
Since.
great for sure.
So what she had told us was in the 70s when she was working for, I believe it was another airline. Our airline didn't exist at that time. And she, I don't know how, I don't remember how she said she did this, but she used to be wearing really long, I guess at the time where there were still acrylic nails. And so they didn't stick on as well as they do now. They probably were just glued on and maybe shaped. Whereas now we have like gel tips and like, they really, really are secured to your nails. So she had these fake nails that she was wearing, and she never wanted to lose an actual nail because if she were able to break one and she brought the nail back, she would be able to, she wouldn't have to pay an extra $6 to get her nail esthetician to fix it. So I don't know how, which if she was she like giving a head massage to a passenger? Like, how did she get the nail in the hair?
So she said that they would always pop off because they weren't like the best quality back then. So she said she'd always be losing one. And she, I guess during service, it popped off into a man's toupee. And she wanted to get it back to like so she wouldn't have to pay that $6. So she was saying she'd try to take it out of his toupee.
Yes, which is like hilarious. And she didn't realize it was a toupee until she tried to take her nail out because the hair was moving with like her trying to displace the nail. And
Yeah.
so she got it back though, am I not correct?
I think so. She said she got it back. Yeah.
So did was the man embarrassed,
don't know. She didn't mention that part.
That is Maria. So our celebrity spotlight this week was is Angeline. Oh, sorry, Evangeline. What do I call her? Angeline. Evangeline Lilly. So we might have you might have known her from Lost. Did you recognize her from Lost?
I didn't know when I was doing some like Googling celebrities that used to be in the industry. I didn't realize, no, until you had.
And have you ever watched Lost?
No, I haven't.
So Lost was like a really, really popular show. I can't remember when it was on. Maybe late, was it late 90s? I think it or early 2000s. It was really, really famous. So this is Evangeline Lilly. She's actually Canadian.
Oh,
Did you know that?
no, I didn't.
So the airline that she used to work for was Royal Airlines, and which is Canadian, and it then turned into Canada 3000. So that's what airline she did work for before. So she has a great story that she tells about her flight attendant days. So I'm just going to play some clips for you. So this is Evangeline. And then I
But
see
also,
her
when you were
here.
younger, you were a flight attendant.
I'm going to stop and start it just because I don't want a copyright problem. So I'll just stop and start and we can have a little chit chat.
So how did I didn't know that. So how did that go? How were people? I feel like that's one of the worst jobs. People, you get people in grumpy
Well, you got
spaces.
to remember.
Which is true. We do get a lot of people in grumpy spaces. But I'll have to say, yesterday, we had a group of like 70 plus widows. like they're like in the back of like we were Victoria and I were working in the back, and they were all so nice on the way down compared to the people that were working in the front, who had like people that were just getting really, really, really tipsy. So they were a lot busier than we were in the front. Like they sold like $1,000 more than we did, and we sold like not very much at all. So people do get grumpy, but we had some really sweet older people yesterday.
Yeah.
This was 25 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
People were so much nicer 25 years ago.
That is totally
true. People are miserable now.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
miserable. Maybe they were faking it back then though.
Well,
maybe
yeah,
they're just honest now.
I would like to see what it was like back then as a flight attendant. Like I wish that I'd start with our company at the very beginning just to see the change. Because I remember when people used to dress up a little bit more to go on a flight, you know? And yeah, now people will come in their sweatpants and their, like, you know, pajamas, bring their pillows, which is fine, I guess. It's usually kids. But, you know, now they don't really dress up. But before, it used to be like an event and people would get really all dolled up to go on a plane. Now, yeah, take it for granted.
For sure, taken for granted. That's the perfect way to say it.
I guess it's more accessible now, of course, but I would love to have seen it when people were getting all snazzy.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, there would be that flyer that was miserable and mean and unkind and deserving of some sort of punishment. And so.
Have you ever punished any passengers?
Maybe the only way that I can think of is if they like call over the, like keep dinging that call light. And we're like just setting up for service and they're repeatedly asking like for something. And, you know, we're just about to come out, that I will make them wait a couple extra minutes.
100%. And that's the thing, is that you don't actually, even for a 5-hour flight, like you don't really need anything. Whenever I go on a flight, if that's not ours or whatever, like I'm always going to buy a bottle of water in the airport. I'll buy a snack or bring a snack with me. So these people that are like, I need a glass of water for my child. And I'm like, your child hasn't had a glass of water in half an hour. Like would he or she be having a glass of water at home in half an hour, like at half an hour after she just had one? You know what I mean? I'm always just like, people get so desperate for a glass of water or a Coca-Cola. And I'm like, I think it's just because like they can, but they never really need anything that much, you know, with the desperation sometimes.
Yeah.
So extra.
The real only punishment I had at my disposal was like a little flyby crop dusting. Just a little, and then just keep going.
Have you ever done that, Victoria?
I haven't, but I know other crew members who do.
I've heard of it before. It actually reminds me of, not with us, but when I worked at this restaurant, like 20 years ago, my best friend at the restaurant, he really didn't like our owner. And so, like, he just was like, I hate this guy. Like, oh, he makes me so angry. He's such a jerk. And so he's like, anytime he's near me, I just like to let one rip right when he, so he can just walk into my fucking fart. I'm like, oh my God. Like, so he's like always timing it so that the owner would walk into his farts. So, I mean, maybe this was a thing of back 20 years ago, 25 years ago, was like the punishment, ultimate punishment was to crop dust people that you didn't like.
And they'd be like, oh, like who did that to me? And I'd be like, not me. What?
Not
me.
Not little old me.
I'm just a flight attendant.
You're just like tooting past the grumpy guy who's probably making him even more grumpy, which is winning. You're
which
winning.
Which is so winning. That's-
or maybe he's like a perv and likes it. You never know, right?
Amazing.
And I love that you said tooting.
Tooting. I know. I just love that you were crop dusting passengers. We would have been friends.
We totally are now.
That is already fun.
So that's our story about Evangeline Lilly. So I felt as though, since we were talking about her experience as a flight attendant, that's the only story that I really found from her. Did you find anything else? Any other stories? That was it, right?
That was it, yeah. just that I guess she showed up to the airport for her flight one day, I think, and she forgot her passport. And then she decided this job's not for me and just left.
I mean, I can really easily understand. Like, there's a lot that you have to kind of remember, which is kind of, it's kind of, and then they're important things. I've actually almost gotten to the airport before and forgot my airport pass, and I don't live that close. And it's really stressful when that happens. So I'm like, I called crew scheduling. I'm like, oh my God, because I had to like, I was almost at the airport and I'd taken transit. I had about 40 minutes to get to the airport to be at check-in on time. And so I was like, oh my God, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So I took an Uber back to my house to pick up my airport pass. And it was because I was drafted on a gray. So like, I was just like, I was just out of sorts, right? I wasn't like in a routine. It wasn't a day that I usually I fly on. And so I just didn't do what I normally do. And I noticed because I was on the subway and I usually just like pulled my rake. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, like, where's my rake? And so I was like, ah! So I got off at the next stop and then took the Uber home, picked up my pass, and then I was in traffic because it's not my usual route. It was like a Monday at 4 p.m. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I was like 45 minutes late. I got in a little bit of trouble, but.
Well, but that's
I didn't delay the flight.
Well, that's good.
Did not delay the flight. So that's all that matters. Okay, so do we have any tooting stories that you'd like to share with our friends?
The one that I was going to tell you was when I was working with a crew member in the front, and we were talking about, like, he was, like, telling me how bloated he was. He was like, I'm so bloated, you know? But he's very, like, put together, classy, and he wouldn't fart. And then we go out into the aisle starting our service, and I just like smell something disgusting. And I just like, this is immediately after he had told me in the galley, like how bloated he was. And then we get out, and then as soon as like, oh, that's all you smell. And I just looked at him and I was like his eyes were like, that wasn't me. Like, it was just so
wasn't he like?
I was like, just tell me, was it like it, come on, like it was you. And he was like, no, I swear it really wasn't me. I'm like,
say again.
I was like, the timing of it, right? Like, you just told me, like,
that's really, he's like panic. He's like, it wasn't me. I was flying with a brand new FA last week, and she was telling me that she will never let one go anywhere on the plane. So whether it be in the lab or like, she will not do it. She will hold it and wait until she gets to her car. So I'm like, oh my God, don't you know, get sick by like keeping your windows up. Make sure you roll your windows down if you're like waiting till you get to the car to just let everything out. Like, I'm like, don't light a match, you know? She's like, yeah, I just like run to my car so I can just let it all out.
Well, flying makes you bloated, right?
Pardon me?
Flying does make you bloated. It's like, yeah.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for being here. Hello, hello. Okay, so a friend of mine, she used to work for Emirates. And so, you know, I've never flown on those planes, but we can imagine, like, there are two floors, like really luxurious. And so the first class was on this, the top, like upper level. And then if you go down the stairs, it's like going to be like economy, the regular level for the plane. And so there was this big, I think he was an Australian, like footballer, like rugby guy. Like, he was just like a big guy, youngish, like in his maybe early 30s. And he was complaining of pains, and that he was like, oh, he's so bloated and he hurts. Like, I don't know. He was just like complaining of pains. So I believe they called similar to what we speak to. So MedLink, so some sort of medical professional that we can contact in air, in flight. And so they would call them. And what was suggested is that he gets on his hands and knees and just kind of crawls around a little bit just to really allow for the gas to flow a little more easily. So this big rugby guy is on all fours, just like in the back galley area, like at the bottom of the stairs for first class, just farting. So he's just like crawling and farting, and people from first class are coming downstairs to see what's going on, just like going back up. They're like, economy's not for me. Economy's not for me. This guy's just like on his hands and knees, just like farting. But eventually he did feel a lot better. So he said, thank you so much. But so my friend, though, she had to tell her manager to like, yeah, I'm not going to tell him what the medical professional has decided is the cure. You're going to have to do it. So they're like, you know, a cabin manager had to go tell this man to like get on all fours and crawl around.
Oh my goodness. That's hilarious.
So embarrassing for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any other stories about letting one go?
So I'm the same way. I'm like, I try to hold it in. Okay. So I was on this one particular flight. We were working up front and my CSM had like was the same thing. She was completely bloated all day. We were like, she was just like letting it loose. And then I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so bloated too, holding everything in. This is so embarrassing.
You don't have to tell it.
It's embarrassing, but it's funny. So we had a deadheading like front end. So like our pilots were like switched in down station and we have two sitting in the back. So we're up in the front, our curtains closed. It's been hours. She's like just letting loose. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Right. So I'm like, I need to let one out. She's like, just do it. So I do. And I swear the instant, like, this was like my, like I was so embarrassed. The instant that I do, like he whips the one of the captain that was deadheading whips open the curtain. And he was like, what's that smell? And we're like, oh my gosh, it was so embarrassing. And he was like, he was so nice about it. He's like, listen, he's like, when I work up front with a female pilot, he was like, I hold it in all day. He's like, I love when I fly with a guy because I'm just like, hey buddy, like I have to let it out.
Oh my God. Okay. That reminds me of a story actually. So there was a time when some things were happening in the industry. And so it became a rule that no pilot was allowed to be in the flight deck alone. And so I think this was regulated probably across Canada, but I don't know. Anyways. Yeah. So one of us had to go into the flight deck anytime one of the pilots had to use lab or wanted to stretch their legs or whatever. So he ended up spending a lot of time in the flight deck. And so sometimes even when they came back, you just still stay in there and hang out and talk with them. And one time I was in there with two pilots, like we're just sitting, hanging out, chatting, long flight. And like the smell was like, I was like, oh my God, like, are they gonna think it's me? Like, no, like I was just so embarrassed because like I was in there and like this smells just started to like appear. And I'm like, it wasn't even me. And I'm like, oh my God, each of them are gonna think it's me or whoever it's not, it's gonna think it was me. And yeah, it was pretty mortifying. I was like, do I say something? Or is that incriminating? I'm like, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do. What would you have done?
I would have been maybe tell them like it's time to put on your oxygen mask.
Like, yes, you have an oxygen mask in here. Oh my God, it can be so bad sometimes. People just kind of letting it loose. I heard a story last week. I don't remember when this actually happened, but there was passengers just like standing in the aisle. So one thing that happens at our airline that's really frustrating, that doesn't seem to happen at any other airline, is that people will be standing in the aisle waiting for the washroom the entire flight. It will never be clear. There will always be at least 5 people in the front and like 6 people in the back waiting at all times. It's really annoying and really frustrating. And so at the front of our planes, we have section that's kind of, this has a little bit more leg room. So it's you pay a little bit more for a few seats. It's not first class or business class, but it's just a little bit more room. And they're sitting there and people are waiting for the lab. And so you know what likely they're doing in the lab, but they decided to start farting in the aisle. And so like people, like in their, you know, torso area is at like their butt area is at like face area to the people that are around them. And so the people in these like paid extra for these seats are like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, you know, like they're really offended by the smells that are permeating their face. So they call over one of the flight attendants and it's like, hey, like people are like farting over here. Can you do something about it? And they're like, we can't really do anything about it. Like, yeah, but we give you free rein to say something if you'd like. So one of the passengers did, and they're like, excuse me, can you please stop farting while you're waiting in line for the, can you save it for the lavatory, please? And they're like, this is supposed to be all inclusive. It's all inclusive, right? And the FA was like, that's at the hotel. All inclusive is at the hotel. It's not with the plane. And so yes, they just were like, we paid to be able to be free with our farts. How are people so inconsiderate?
I don't know.
So disgusting. Like, what if people got pink eye?
Oh, yeah. And then right? They sue. Like,
no. Oh my God. Imagine. That's something that would happen for sure.
That reminds me, though, of a flight when I was working once in the back galley we were, and the smell was just horrible. And you know how you get accustomed to, like, a smell? Like, be it like a perfume, whatever, like when you're around it for so long, you just can't smell it anymore, even though it's there. So it was like disgusting smell. And after about like 20, 30 minutes, the crew member from the back came and he was like, we stopped smelling it. And he's like, it smells disgusting back here. And we're like, we don't even smell it anymore. It was just gross to think that like, it's just what you're breathing in and... No air freshener.
You're comfortable with it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine used to always say, like, you know that you're in love when your partner's farts don't smell to you anymore. So maybe you're in love with this passenger. You fell in love.
That's disgusting.
Okay, so this isn't a farting story, but it's a very typical story to what happens with some of our passengers on our flight. Okay. So we all the people that were on board this particular flight, it was many years ago, like 7 years ago, we receive an email from the supervisors and it says, good afternoon, ladies. We received the email below from customer relations. It would be greatly appreciated if you could respond to the concerns, even if you were not involved or have no recollection of this incident. I would appreciate a speedy reply. Thanks. We're like, what? I'm like, what is this? Don't know what it is. And then another thing was, another email was, good morning. We received this below complaint from a passenger, Kimberly. I don't see any such matter noted in the CCFR. So like we have like a report that every manager on our flight has to fill out just a report of anything that happens throughout the flight. So just so that we know if something did happen, we already have something documented about it, but there was nothing documented on our flight report. And so would it be possible to get some feedback from the crew who operated this flight if they remember any such incidents for our records? Thank you in advance for your time and assistance. Okay, we're just like, I'm like, okay, what is it? Complaint. January 24th, 2017, going to Santa Clara, Cuba. To whom it may concern, due to a very serious safety and security concern. My name is Kimberly. And I was traveling alone with my 4-year-old grandson on January 24th, 2017, to Santa Clara, Cuba at 6:45 a.m. flight on our aircraft, sitting in aisle seats 7A and B. My grandson and I did eat on the flight. And prior to landing, he had a very loose bowel movement and he had to be changed before leaving the plane. After landing, I proceeded to the washroom with him and did let the two flight attendants at the front know that I had to change him. This was me and another flight attendant. And went to the washroom. After I got my grandson cleaned up, we proceeded to exit the plane. And to my complete surprise, we were left alone on the plane and on the tarmac, being assisted by no employees from the flight at all. As even the two attendants I told also left us alone to fend for ourselves in a foreign country. The only people we saw were Cuban employees who tried to assist. However, there was a language barrier. We stood on the tarmac with no assistance from any employees from our flight at all and waited to see what was going to happen. We were eventually picked up by a bus and taken over to the airport. I've never been so scared, horrified, and upset in my life while trying to be my very best to stay somewhat composed for my very, very young grandson. Many, many times I've left the country by plane to other destinations and have I ever had such complete horrifying experience. This ruined our entire holiday because it was so very horrifying and upsetting. Even the night before leaving Cuba, I could not sleep at all for fear of being left behind once again. This was our very first experience flying with our airline. And I have to say, it was by far not very pleasant at all. I spent good money for our holiday, and this was disgusting behavior by the staff. I'm also thinking of reporting this incident to the authorities. Now I'm like, what? I'm like, I remember the woman. She went into the lab and I had to go to the washroom, so I went to the back. The manager that I was working in the front with was sitting in the front row eating her lunch. The pilots were still in the flight deck, like they hadn't come out of the flight deck yet, because like we're just doing, nobody smokes or anything like that, like everybody like stayed on the plane. One flight attendant was just sitting in the back row waiting for the groomers hadn't even come on yet. You know what I mean? Like, and the other person was just standing at her door waiting for the groomers to come. And I used the lab. And when I came back up, they had gone or whatever. I guess like the harrowing event was happening when I came back to the front and saw that they were gone, but didn't maybe look outside, just being like, oh, I guess like they left. And you know what I mean? And like the Cuban authorities are some staff that work for us. Like they are people that are our employees as well. Like you weren't left there to fend for yourself, and you are in a foreign country. Like you're not going to speak the language likely. And you know, in Santa Clara, it's usually just across the street is the terminal. Like I don't think that they had to take a bus. I don't remember them having to take a bus to the terminal. Like I think it was actually just across the street.
Yeah, right so, there.
Yeah, let's see what I wrote back. Hold on. That was just like what I remembered that I said or what happened. Hold on.
I love that.
It was just like, what? Hi there. Obviously my memory of this flight is a bit thin. Oh, because this was like they asked us about us in March and it happened in January, so it was like 3 months later. But I vaguely remember the situation after the flight manager and I let the woman use the washroom. I did some of like our checks in between the flights, and then went to the back to use the lab, talked to the flight attendants in the back, and no matter what, every FA remained on the plane as the groomers were. There was no tail swap. No one went to the airport. No one smoked. And as far as I remember, with every flight I worked, we only were 20 steps from the airport. I do not remember seeing them use as buses to transfer passengers. Just as the comment on the complaint, I said, it looks like she's just trying to waste to get a refund for her vacation. Firstly, insinuating that the food gave her grandson digestive issues and that her PTSD over being left on the tarmac ruined her vacation. Hope this was helpful. P.S. I would be curious to what she said would say to the authorities and their response. That's just my response back.
Good, yeah.
So yeah, what do you think of that?
That's really funny.
It's pretty good, right?
It's really good, yeah.
Like imagine reading that. I'm like, what? Like, what's this like melodrama that's happening?
Oh, and you allow that to ruin your entire vacation. That's, you know, come on.
I mean, I think it was just creating an excuse, like I said, right?
Yes.
to get a refund. You wanted to talk about Costa Rica. Actually, Costa Rica was where I was when the world shut down. So I was actually on a layover and I was in, like, I was on the beach and we were just like, no, it wasn't the beach, I was around the pool. And we're just like laying out. And then we got called to like, okay, we have to go back home. Like we couldn't finish our whole pairing. I think we took passengers to Edmonton or Calgary or something like that. And like, we had another leg to do, like another down south and then back to Toronto. But we cut that part short. We just brought passengers to Edmonton and then we went back to Toronto. And so that Costa Rica was the last place I was, I believe it was March 13th, 2020, before the world shut down. Where were you? Hey, were you flying?
I was the same. I was on a layover in Costa Rica. And we were... Pardon?
When the world shut down?
Yeah. We were on
were
a layover.
With me?
Wait, were we together? And we were all... We were... I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. We were all looking on our phones at dinner, seeing how like grocery shelves were empty, toilet paper wasn't like, and we were all like, are we going to be able to grocery shop when we get home? Like what's going on? Are we going to get stuck here? Are they going to let us back in? We didn't know. That was our last layover.
You were in Costa Rica as well. Do you remember me taking this picture? Hold on. Let me find I took a picture that day.
The one that I did was just like a 24-hour one. It's like you just operate down, stay 24 hours, operate home.
I took this picture that day?
No, yeah, I don't remember that.
Okay. Well, you liked the picture. I'm just kidding. that's wild, though. I didn't know that you were there as well. You're telling me those some crazy Costa Rica stories. People always ask flight attendants in general, like, do you get to stay? So I don't know if I explained this before, but I'll explain it again. When you get to stay, it's kind of, usually it's built into your schedule. So sometimes, you know, you're just going to do a turn where it's just going down and coming back. And so sometimes you have like a pairing, which is a longer pairing, which is would include different layovers. So you might operate down to a southern destination. You might stay there for a certain amount of hours and then take those passengers back to a Canadian destination, stay there for a bit, then maybe go back down south again, stay there for a bit and then come back home. And so we do get to stay sometimes, but it depends on if it's on your schedule or if something happens like a mechanical or a bird strike or something where you're unable to operate the plane that you came down on, or you bus duty. And that's when you end up be working too many hours in one 24-hour period. And so that's another time when we might have to stay down station, but that's usually not expected. So that would suck. So you're talking about a layover that you had in Costa Rica, or was it somebody's layover?
Oh, which I have a couple stories. I'll tell you the first time that I was in Costa Rica, though. I was headed to the train and it was like I was going for 24 hours, super excited. It was my first time in Costa Rica. This was like 5 years ago. And I get to the train and there's another crew operate like going somewhere else. And they're like, oh, where are you going? You know, and I'm like, Costa Rica. They're like, did you see the picture that was just posted in our like, we have like a group on Facebook where we share stuff. Did you see what so-and-so just posted? They just got back from Costa Rica. And I'm like, no. So she whips out her phone to show me there's like this big yellow poisonous snake that's like laying on the sand, like where the beach chairs are, like a huge snake. And I'm like, oh my God, like I'm terrified of snakes. So like, I'm just seeing this before I get there. So that first night there, I did not sleep at all. I was Googling and Googling and Googling. And it was like, you were in the jungle where the world's most deadliest animals live. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I was to the point, I got so much anxiety. I was like Googling what to do if one of us gets like bit by a snake. Like, don't
move. What did they do?
It says like you can't move, like because the venom will spread. So you need to be carried to help or, you know, to the hospital, whatever. So anyways, that was my first layover there. And it was just, it was amazing. I love Costa Rica, but it was not like what I expected for the first night.
Okay, that's. I mean, I'm not scared of those things. So, but like, I can't believe that you stayed up all night. Like,
Googling. I was Googling. Then I was reading they have a spider that has enough venom that if it can take down 6 men. And I'm like, that's how much venom this spider. Like, yeah, I was like terrified because those critters get in your room, you know, especially in Costa Rica.
Really? I've never really seen any critters.
And I'm always in the ocean too, and the water is very like dark there, so you can't see, like when you're standing in the water, you can't see. It could be like right there. So we all went in together, like the
holding crew, hands.
Holding hands, like in the ocean. Yeah, we're like terrified.
I don't have any stories like that, Costa Rica. No. And
what about the iguanas? You heard they have like 6-foot iguanas?
No.
And they like swim in the pool, like where the people are vacationing at the resort?
I've never seen this. I've actually been to Costa Rica before. I don't know. Did I work for this airline yet? I might have. I'm not sure. No, I didn't, because I was still living in Montreal. But yeah, I went to Costa Rica. I didn't research anything. Like, went to Santa Teresa. I don't know. I guess ignorance is bliss in those situations, because I had no idea that I should be terrified. No, I even slept outside in a hammock.
I would have too if I didn't see that picture. Like, I would have felt free, you know? But I actually had an experience I don't know, because I started going there every month. And then they had on that resort, they had a little like a monkey area where, you know, you could see it's not like a zoo. They're just free and they interact with you. So I actually have a video, I wish I sent it to you, like where the monkey came down and was drinking from my water bottle. It was so cute. Yeah. And then there's this video that I sent to you that the pilot showed me, which I think is hilarious.
Okay, I'll play that video. And then do you want to lead up the story or tee it up?
Yeah, so one of our pilots shared this video, and it's basically he was on a layover and he got this video of a monkey coming down the tree and taking a lady's mojito. And then he goes back up the tree, he chugs the whole mojito, and then he like throws the cup back down. So like after he showed me that, I came home and I was like researching what happens to monkeys when they drink alcohol.
Yeah, like, what happens?
It's like humans, like they get drunk. Some get like some get sleepy, you know.
So was any of them gonna be dancing? Like that would be really fun. Like drunk monkey actually would be very funny.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you can see, it's kind of in the center here where that play button, that's where the monkey is. All right.
There he is with his cup.
Drinking monkey.
Oh, just chugging. Oh, I might have put them in out of order. I did. Sorry.
No. This is right. Okay.
Yeah. It's probably got booze in it too. it's gonna be a drunken monkey.
I need a double.
I know.
I'm trying to recognize the voice.
Look at him.
Like a whole glass of mojito.
Drinking monkey. It's probably got booze in it too. It's gonna be a drunken monkey.
I need a double.
I know.
Oh no, the second clip was of when the monkey like he completely finishes.
Oh, he tossed it. Oh, he tossed it.
That's great.
So funny.
I've never had that experience. I haven't done any excursions in Costa Rica. Have you done any excursions on our layovers?
No, I didn't. I know the zip lining, some of the other crew members that I went down with, they enjoyed that.
Yeah, I haven't done any. I don't think I've done any, because we used to have longer layover periods. And so like it would be easier to coordinate doing an excursion. But yeah, I haven't done an excursion while on a layover in a very long time. Or like, I haven't ever done one, but I haven't had the opportunity to do one in years now. Have you done any other destinations?
No, no, not excursions during like a layover, no. Would you do the one in Costa Rica with the zip lining where you're like laying down and like flying?
You're scared?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I've done, when I was in Puerto Vallarta, I'd won a trip. And so we did a bunch of excursions and one of them was like, it had zip lining in it. And so like, there was like 10 zip lines. Like it would be standing, it'll be laying down, it'll be like normal. Like then there's water slides. Like it was like tons of different adventurous activities.
Oh, that's wild.
You wouldn't do that?
No, I did zip lining in Punta Cana once, but it was like a baby zip line. And I made the person that runs the zip line go down with me.
After you're done, that you weren't like, oh, that was fine. You're still scared?
Yeah, it was okay. But this one was not high. It was like a treehouse.
I find it fun. I'm not scared of height stuff, but I think it's because I'm an air sign. You're an earth sign, so you probably prefer to be on the ground.
Yes. Yeah.
Eat on the ground. How is flying for you? Were you someone that like one of the reasons why you wanted to fly was to get over your fear of flying?
No, flying was just different for me. Like I just feel it's like a different world. I don't feel those same fears, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you have any more stories about flatulence or
let's share the one I have actually two stories, but let's share the one about a fart gone wrong.
Go ahead. Do yours first. I can't remember mine right now, but go ahead.
Yeah, so we were coming on board. It was just a fresh start to the day. We were taking over an aircraft that I guess was a red eye. And we get there and maintenance and groomers and everyone was there. And they're like, thank God I was working in the front because I would not like, oh my gosh. They were like, a lady was sitting in the back. She got really drunk. And I don't know, maybe she thought she had to fart. I don't know. But she ended up like doing a number two all over her seat. They're like, it was so disgusting when she was walking by, like everything where she walked, like the jetway, like everything just stunk. So I felt so bad for them. It was a huge mess they had to clean up off the seats.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I feel bad for those that have to, you know, groom our planes because sometimes it's really, really, really unpleasant. So this isn't a story, but I used to fly to visit my dad all the time because he's always lived in the States. So whether it be to California where he lived for a few years or Vegas where he's lived for like 35 years, my brother and I would always be traveling by ourselves. And so, but one thing that my dad used to tell, because he was a frequent flyer, he was always traveling for business or whatnot. He's like, never fly a red eye. And I'm like, why? And he's like, it's just a fart tank. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, everybody's sleeping and farting in their sleep and they're not controlling it. The whole thing is just a metal fart tank. I'm like, oh my God. And so he would never like book us like a red eye to come visit him because he doesn't want us on the fart tank. And so when I started working where we work, and sometimes I would do, it was a layover, but it would be a red eye to Vancouver and you'd stay in Vancouver. And it was a fart tank. It's so bad because like everybody's sleeping. So there's like, and like, you just walk through and you're like, oh my God, it smells so bad. Like, cause you have to kind of check to make sure that everybody's okay every few minutes. And so like walking through, checking on people was just like, okay, we can do it. We could get through this barrier of like smells. What's it? Cacophagus. cacophone. I don't know. Anyways, just a medley of fart smells on the plane. That's a tip for pro tip. Like, if you don't want to be like just basking in farts, don't do a red eye. Don't take it.
That's a good one. Fart tank.
Fart tank. You said you had a second one?
Oh my gosh, what was it now? I don't know if I want to share that one.
Oh.
Well, it was just from another crew member was telling me that like this really like beautiful woman was on the flight and she went to use the lav. The lav had been clean. And then she came out and she sat down back at her seat. And then when he opened the lav, there was like, like he said, like poop, like on the seat, you know? And he said that the flight deck, someone came from out from the flight deck to use it. And they're like, oh my God, like what's with the lav? And he's like, the only person that used it was that beautiful woman. So I just remember that story. I was like, oh my gosh, like what's going on?
Well, you don't have to tell me who, but I remember having partial stories of somebody that would bring the fake poop and yes. like prank people.
Yeah.
I don't remember who told me those stories, but do you have any of the prank poop stories?
Oh yeah. I used to work with this lady. Yeah.
You probably loved it because you like a good prank.
Oh yeah, for sure. I ended up ordering one.
You did? Where is it now?
I actually threw it out because I had it in my lav bag, my lunch bag, like wrapped in plastic. And I was like, this thing is gross. But I remember the very first day that I got it, like I was so excited. And my daughter was like, I think maybe 6 at the time. And I remember I opened up, it was a summer day. And I opened up the toilet and I left it on the toilet, like the rim. And I just was sitting on the balcony, like enjoying the sun. And then I didn't say nothing. Like about half an hour later, all I hear is, oh my God, mama. And I was like, oh, she must have found it.
You were laughing?
I was laughing. It was so cute and funny. And I was like, that's so funny.
And so then that made you throw it away?
No, then I kept it. I brought it on so many different flights and I used it with other crew. And then it just like was in there for years. And I was like, you know what? Like, let me just throw this out.
Oh, like, it's time. It's had its time. Oh, the poor poop.
Had its time, but I need to order a new one.
It was probably like, what did I do? What did I do? that's amazing. I feel bad for the poop getting thrown away because like he didn't really do anything but his job. I did have, it was kind of sad, but I did have a poop gone wrong story or a fart gone wrong story potentially. So we had a lot of turbulence, and so for our aircraft, when there's a lot of turbulence, we just advise people to not get up to use lavatory, just because if you know, it's difficult to stabilize yourself and you could fall and hurt yourself. You could fall and hurt somebody else around you. So generally speaking, we want everybody seat in their seats with their seatbelts fastened. And this one woman was sitting near the front by the window and she needed assistance, like getting on and off the plane. She had something was going on with her foot and she was very old. She was maybe like 80 or so. And turbulence was going on for a really long time. That she just ended up going in her seat and she just didn't make it to the bathroom in time. And so they did finally, when the, you know, turbulence kind of simmered down, they helped her to the lav. And apparently like the lav was quite messy after. And then she went back to her seat and they had to like, we covered her with like blankets and stuff like that. And like when she was taken off in the wheelchair, like covered her in blankets and stuff. And so the ground handlers or ground agents were like, what happened? Like, why was she wearing a diaper? And apparently it never happened to her before. And she was just so embarrassed. And the passengers around her were so mean. Like, okay, it smelled horrifying. I'm not like, I don't disagree, but people were like, we want our money back. Like, you know, like it's, and I was like, have just like a slight iota of compassion here. Like, this is a really old lady that like may had an accident. Like, you know yeah. what I mean? And so people were just so up in arms, so angry. And one of our FAs was just like disinfecting the front lab, and people were just so mad that they had to go to the back to use the lab. And it was like, you want to go in there while it's like a shit storm in there? Would you prefer to do that? Like, and then when they went to the back, so many people were using the back one. So there's two lavatories in the back. I don't know, I guess they weren't flushing it or whatnot, but then one of the labs in the back wouldn't flush anymore. And so we had to like lock off the back lab. And so like the lineup was from the entire plane was just a lineup because there's only one usable lab for like a good hour or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. Pretty bad.
See, like for cases like that, like I feel for the person, you know, like, but it's when you're like, you know, like the other lady, like just got so hammered and that's the end of the story.
Yeah, like she just got real drunk, real drunk. I actually do want to pull up. Do you have in another window our little TikTok that we did?
Oh yeah, I'll send it to you.
So we'll maybe close it on that, and then maybe we can talk briefly about gifts that we received.
Let me send it to you. 1 second.
Dun, 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 dun.
Maybe I'll send it to you like this, and then you can play it. Let me know when it goes through.
Do you have any final farts gone wrong stories or?
No, not that I can think of.
More poop in the bathroom stories?
Oh, I actually do have one, you know, during boarding. This is actually like one of my biggest pet peeves is like, you've been in the terminal for 3 hours, multiple washrooms, so much space for you. And during boarding, you decide to board and immediately stink up the lav. So we had this once and I was up in the front. I was, you know, we were boarding and this man just came, you know, through boarding, pushing his way forward, does a big number in the washroom and it stunk. Like it was so horrible. No air freshener could help. And then, so, you know, he doesn't close the door. So now the smell's just seeping out. So I close the door and another lady comes to use the washroom and she opens the door and she starts like opening, closing. And she's like, oh, I need to air this out. And I was like, yeah, you can't air that out in the galley.
Were you eating your lunch at the time? Like,
well, we were boarding, but it was
no, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Come on. Okay. So this is what we did yesterday. Well, I mean, at one time.
I take my frustration from passengers out on the ice. We're flight attendants. Of course we look up every time we hear a ding.
We're flight attendants. Of course we take selfies in the captain's seat.
I'm a flight attendant. Of course I love receiving gifts from passengers.
We're flight attendants. Of course we always have a random butt in our face.
That is our activities from yesterday. but we did actually receive a treat from a passenger. So I was kind of like tired, a little bit grumpy, and we get out to do service. And like pretty much at the first row that we were at, or I guess the second row, they were like, we have this for you. And they gave, and we were just had been doing all these, you know, little videos. And so I was like, oh my God, it's perfect. So we got like, I'd never even had it before. It was a bar of Ferrero Rocher. I was like, delicious. Thank you.
Oh, good. So and we actually got the mini eggs too, right?
The mini eggs was from a former pilot that had just had retired. So
it feels so nice. I love it.
Yes, me too. Well, unless you have anything else to share, I think that's it for today.
think that's all for today, too.
All she wrote. Well, thank you, everybody. Make sure you follow us. So we are trying to build our, you know, our other networks here. And so make sure you subscribe or follow us on Airplane Mode FA on TikTok and Instagram. Do we have us anywhere else?
That's it. Yeah.
And yeah, of course, follow us here at Reality Realness with 3 S's. We will go live with Airplane Mode every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. So subscribe to the channel, like this video. Let us know if you have any flight attendant stories. We will likely have a special guest next week. And so we might hear some stories from some other airlines, which could be fun. If you have any topics or things that you want to know more about, please let us know. And so we can continue this conversation in the comments and also next week. So thanks again, everybody. We will see you soon.